Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison. And by the Press-Telegram. Your local news leader for over 100 years.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening. Welcome back to Straight Talk. This is the first show of our fall season. We have a wonderful show for you tonight. Our first guest is John Fielder, who's president of Southern California Edison. Welcome back to our show, John.
Thanks, Art. It's great to be here.
It was a real hot summer, but we got through it okay.
We did, Art. This was a what we call a 1-in-50-year heat storm, meaning on a statistical basis, you'd expect this kind of summer once every 50 years. So it really is abnormal, and it puts a big stress on the system. The good news is we had enough power to keep the lights on. We did have some local distribution problems, and so we had a lot of customers that actually had outages due to transformer failures.
So a summer like this puts the system to the ultimate test, and I would say, considering the 1-in-50 nature of the summer, it really passed the test quite well.
I think we did. We don't have a lot to spare, and that's one of the things that the state needs to work on, is how to get some new power plants built, and I'll talk about that later. But with respect to this summer, yeah. If you were one of the customers that was affected by the transformer failure, yeah. It didn't matter that we had plenty of power if we couldn't get it to your house. And we had some customers that were out up to 72 hours. And the issue is our transformers are not designed to handle the kind of heat load we had for the sustained period. And it just is one of those things that we just don't design for. And,
sure.
And you can't afford to design to cover a 1-in-50-year heat storm. So we lost several customers due to local outages.
But I know there's a corporate psyche of doing everything possible to restore power in the fastest possible time period.
That's absolutely right. Our crews really thrive on heat storms and other kinds of storm conditions. And they worked a lot of overtime. We had all our crews out. We actually had crews that we borrowed from the Northwest to help get power restored to our customers. And we know that when the power's out, the customers are really hurting, and so the crews really try and respond as fast as they can. But it takes going out to each transformer,
sure.
Diagnosing the problem, and replacing it. And it just sometimes, when we had them build up, it took up to 72 hours for a few customers.
Let's turn, John, to rates. There have been some rate increases this year. We talked about it on your earlier appearance, and most of the rate increase was due to higher prices of natural gas that you use to generate the electricity.
That's right, Art. We've had about 15% rate increase this year, primarily due to natural gas, increases in natural gas prices. And about 60% of the electricity that we deliver to our customers comes from natural gas plants. So when the natural gas prices go up, that has to flow through. One of the things that made this rate increase even more noticeable to some customers is the fact, and there's not a lot of people that really know this, but I want to spend a minute, if I can, Art, talking about the way this rate structure works, because our rates are designed similar to the way the income tax system is. And so the more you use, the more you pay. And so particularly when you combine that type of rate structure with the tremendous heat we had this summer, people use 2 or 3 times more electricity, and they're getting that last increment of electricity at a very high price. Their bills were very high.
So it was a double whammy then.
It was a double whammy.
Yeah.
This is due to the fact that during the crisis in 2001, there was a statute passed that said that the first 2 tiers of usage that customers use can't receive any increases. So whatever increases we have to go into the top tiers, and it would sort of be like having, you couldn't increase the lower income tax brackets, and the only place you could increase it would be at the tail end.
Sounds like a Democratic type of tax structure.
it has that effect of people that use a lot of energy, which
sure.
are usually larger homes and so forth, pay a lot more for the incremental usage.
Very interesting. Let's finally turn to the need for a coherent state energy policy. And again, we've talked about this before, but to get more capacity online, companies like yours have to be incentivized to build the plant and equipment, and you are reluctant to do that unless you have an assured rate of return.
Well, Art, it's more than that. We have to know who, what customers we're going to be serving in the long term, because the structure that the state has today is anticipates that retail customers like you and me will be able to choose who you buy your energy from. So you won't have to buy it from Edison. And in that kind of environment, it's hard to make long-term investments, and the power plants are long-term investments that require contracts for 10 or 20 years. And so the problems we've got in the state are that no new power plants have been built, and our loads are growing at 5% a year. That problem, I think, is going to get resolved. We just made a proposal to the Public Utilities Commission, which was approved, where we will sign contracts, and the cost will get spread to all the customers that get the benefit of those power plants. And so we expect some new power plants to be online in 2008 or 2009 as a result of this proposal.
So if you're going to invest $1 billion in a new power plant, you need the assurance that there will be customers for that capacity, and you won't be left with a sunk investment for which there are no customers.
That's right, Art. That's exactly the issue.
And in the next session of the legislature, do you need legislation, or can the PUC take care of the problem?
I think the PUC can take care of the problem. Legislation may help, and there's a lot of discussion in Sacramento about what kind of type of framework makes most sense for the electricity business.
Very good. We have a minute left, John, and I just want to touch on the fact that your company is known for its focus on renewable energies, solar, thermal.
Absolutely. We have more renewable energy in our portfolio than any other utility in the country. About 16% of the energy that we deliver to our customers comes from renewable, solar, geothermal, wind primarily, some biomass. We are really trying to get more renewables in our portfolio. The biggest issues we have are transmission, because usually where the renewable resources are, where the wind blows or where there's geothermal plants, we don't have the wires to bring it into where the electricity users are. So that's a big issue, and it takes some time to get the transmission lines built to the renewable areas.
Very interesting. And I personally feel that not only utility companies, but our country should be focusing on renewables. We need to wean ourselves away from oil.
Absolutely.
For a whole bunch of reasons that we don't have time to go into. But thank you for joining us again on our show, John.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Art.
Okay, stay with us. We'll be back with more Straight Talk after these messages.